The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. It's a nice Friday. It's the first day of July, 2022. And as usual, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we can blab, we can talk, we can, whatever you want to do. All right, we have nobody waiting right now, so, if you want to call, you can get right in. So I'm trying something a little bit different right now. I'm on Discord in the CARM server. On the radio show, something. I'm just putting this up. Nobody knows I'm doing this. I don't expect anybody really to come in. And I'm simultaneously going to Club Deck, or which is on the phone. It would be Club, Clubhouse, and broadcasting there as well. We're also broadcasting via StreamYard, and we're going to, we're going to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Odyssey. So we're trying to, we're trying to get it going. Anyway, there you go. All right, so nobody's waiting right now. Okay, now, so I want to talk about something. You know, I'm going to do some hate mail too later, though. I got to do some hate mail because maybe we'll do hate mail first because there's some tough stuff. I'm going to tell you what I was reading through some stuff, and here, let's see, where is it? So, GOP... Oh, man, listen to this, folks. The GOP slams the White House official for saying that high gas prices defend the, quote, liberal world order, close quote. And that disturbed me to no end. It really bothered me. It's like, what is going on, you know? And, And my wife read me a quote today. She read me a quote, and I wish I had that quote as well. That was from the guy, the president of San Salvador, I think it was. He says, America the Great is falling. It's a powerful nation. It can only fall from within, not from without. And, boy, it's happening. It is happening. So, quote, let's see, National Economic Council Director Brian Deese appeared on CNN Thursday just hours after President Joe Biden told reporters that people should expect gas prices, regular gas averaging $4.84 on Friday, to remain high as long as it takes for Ukraine to win its war against Russia, which is insane. I don't see, what's the stinking connection? The left are so full of lies. You know, I'm going to get a t-shirt that says, truth and lies are equally valuable to the left. Let's see, what we heard from the president, this is about the future of the liberal world order. We have to stand firm, he said, the Washington Examiner reported. The liberal world order. What did the liberal world order mean? I know what it means. It means freedom of religion is restricted, freedom of speech is restricted, that woke is necessary, that borders are open, that socialism comes in and destroys our economy, just basic stuff like this. The reduction of our property rights, that's what socialism does, a reduction of our right to self-defense, bear arms. Just sometimes, it's just like, I would say to my wife when I read that, I read it to her, I said, look, I could take that line and I've written science fiction before, and just put it right into a science fiction dystopian novel. Just quote it flat in. It would fit right in. And I started thinking, I wrote a novella called Atheistica, and it's about an atheist nation that forms on a newly formed island, and things don't go as well as they're supposed to. And I thought, people have been asking me to write a sequel to it because it's a short novel, full novel. It's about half the size of a regular novel. It's called a novella. And so I was thinking that would go right in there, when in order to solve the problems that their philosophy has created, that it would be just perfect right in there to their socialist, humanist ideologies. Anyway. Oh, man. Yeah, depressing. But that's just how it is right now. All right, hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Oliver from Maine. Welcome, buddy. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, so first thing, I just want to let you know, I'm actually the guy who called up anonymous out.
And what?
3 months ago, and I'm the guy who called up, who called in, and I was anonymous about 3 months ago.
You're that guy who I didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
And everybody else has done that, too. Oh, that guy. Okay, gotcha. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, and I actually called up, and I fall into some sin, and I went through you. Talked to you about it a little bit, and I took your advice and talked to my wife and actually repented to her. So I just want to say thank you there.
Oh, you're welcome. How'd it go? Whatever. I don't remember the topic. I remember vaguely you'd call him, but things are okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, it went well. It's just I felt kind of numb when I repented, but I nonetheless, you know, apologized and repented to her and to God as well, so.
Oh, well, good for you, man. Good for you. And, you know, just stand strong in the Word and be a good Christian man, good Christian leader in the home. And do the best you can that way. So good for you. All right.
Yeah. So my question today for you is actually, so I struggle with something called OCD. And
okay.
It, right now, it's kind of hard to tell right now, like, is this my OCD trying to, you know, compulse me to do something, or is this, you know, the Holy Spirit's conviction about something. It can be
good
very
question.
Confusing at times. And one that I'm particularly struggling with, I struggle with it bad, like medically bad. So one I'm struggling with, and I'm kind of like, I don't really know. It's fasting. I feel like a compulsion that, like, right now I should not eat immediately, and I should fast right now, you know, and start now. And then I don't do so. Because it seems like OCD, but then also it seems like it's God. Because it'll happen. I feel like I'm disobeying God when I don't do it. Like it's almost like just God's hand is just pressuring down on me, you know. And it's very confusing sometimes. And OCD will sometimes latch on to things that are genuinely like I should stop doing that, but OCD will latch a hold of it and kind of.
Okay.
It's very hard to explain, but you understand
that? No, I got you. I got you. You can't discern between what you ought to do and what you're, in a sense, forced to do by an OCD compulsion. And you want to do what's right, and then there can be sin mixed up in it, conviction of sin, memories of things, and it can become a bit of a mess. You're not exactly sure what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And usually knowledge will... Usually when I have knowledge of something, like, biblically, then I know that it's, okay, it's OCD. That's biblically not quite lining up with what I'm feeling convicted of. But with the fasting thing, it's kind of difficult because there's a passage that I've seen, like, one in Joel 2 where it says, you know, turn to me with all your heart with prayer and with fasting, with the sin that I fell into.
Right.
It'll latch to that. Well, you need to fast right now, you know. And it'll latch to that. But then I'll also look at the scriptures where it talks about how, you know, fasting needs to be more of a heart thing. It's not like a compulsory sort of thing. So
what's your question?
I'm just struggling with that, and I'm just trying to figure out how do you know when something is the Holy Spirit's voice first thing, and then also.
Well, hold on. Let's do that one first. One thing at a time.
Yeah.
How do you know it's the Holy Spirit's voice? Good question. I'm not sure how to tell you what the answer is.
Okay.
Because, I mean, how do we know? I mean, you're calling up a guy on the radio and saying, oh, this is how you know. There's the three steps, you know, and the Bible doesn't tell us.
Yeah.
It just takes practice. And it's not easy. What I would recommend is that you have people you can trust, you can talk to, not ad infinitum. You don't want to burn them out, because I know how OCD people can do. And you want to just nail down the issue as quickly as possible and say, what do you think about this? And then... I would also recommend that you keep a record. And people don't realize how good a record can be. Just something short, because OCD people sometimes can be rather verbose. So just, you know, on this date, I had this problem. I had to talk to so-and-so, conclusion this. And you can start learning patterns that way. And it will help you understand yourself and the Lord in your relationship better. Okay.
Okay.
Sure, that's a good idea.
I guess the second question, too, would be is fasting something that the Holy Spirit will convict us to do? Like, that he wants us to do, then even if our hearts aren't quite like wanting to right then and there.
Yeah, of course he can.
Is that?
Of course
okay.
you can.
Yeah, okay.
You know, of course you can do stuff that he can convict you about stuff you don't want to do. Yeah. But how do you know it's really him? What I would recommend you do, I got an idea for you. There's a book, Answers to Prayer, by George Mueller. And it's short. Okay. He's called The Orphan King. He's in the 1800s. And he has a, I don't want to say method, but let's just say he has an approach for finding and accomplishing the will of God. And there's some principles in there that I think are very good. You might benefit from it. And he has a lot of instances of practice in it.
Okay.
I give it a shot.
Awesome. Thank you. I apologize if it was kind of all over the place there.
It's all right.
Hard for me to even like explain it with words, but I appreciate you and your ministry here. So thank you.
There's no problem, man. There's no problem at all. You call any time because... You know, as you know, I have Asperger's, so I can relate a little bit to some odds and ends that that we go through. And you know what? God's beyond it, and he's not limited by it. And if we submit to him and stumble on our way towards him, it works out, and that's what you got to do. You know,
yes.
That's why I say keeping a record can be surprisingly helpful. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. All right, big man. Okay. All right, God bless. All right? Okay. Whoa. Did I hang up? I think I might have hung up on somebody. I think I messed up. Anyway, if I did, just call back whoever it was because two lines disappeared really quickly. Let's get to Scott from Utah. Scott, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Got a question that... we were having in a men's Bible study. A friend of mine has a close family member that lives a homosexual lifestyle, and he's convinced that she is saved, but she is currently married to another woman. And we were discussing whether unrepentant sin such as that could ever inherit the kingdom, whether she'll be able to go to heaven or not without renouncing that sin. He says that she says all the right things. She believes, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for her sins, and she believes he's the only begotten Son of God, and so on and so forth, but yet she still lives in this sin. And I was just wanting your opinion. My opinion is that she wouldn't be able to unless she renounces or repents of this sin.
Here's the
as
thing.
We all have to do.
Here's the thing. Repenting of sin is not what gets us to heaven. If someone's truly a believer, they're also regenerate. And out of the regenerated heart, people will then do what is right and turn from what is wrong. In 1 John 2:4, it says, if you say you know him and do not keep his commandments, the truth is not in you and you are a liar. So, with, you know, love and patience, I'd say to her, I'd say, I'm sorry, if you say you're a Christian and you live as though you're an unbeliever, then the scriptures tell me that the truth is not in you. You are not regenerate. I can't say you're a Christian, even if you profess all the right things, because orthodoxy and orthopraxy have to match. So that's one thing, okay? We could talk about this issue of repentance. We ought to repent, but repentance is compliance with the law, and compliance with the law does not save us. Repentance is the work of the Holy Spirit in us and granting it through us in the regenerated state that we are in, and we do it because we're saved, not to get it or to obtain it. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, welcome back to the show. Scott, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, buddy.
Yes, that's kind of along the lines I was thinking. You know, I was telling him that the devil is a liar and a counterfeiter. He uses all the terms love and tolerance and all that to bring, you know, sin into the church, and by accepting, you know, things that go against what the Bible says, even if it, you know, seems right or feels right to you, is not right.
Correct. See, if you say you know him, you better better show it.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, if she were there, I was in the room with her, and this topic came up. I mean, I'd be gentle. I'm very gentle, really. I am. On radio, I got to be direct. I'm teaching and doing apologetics. But I would say, look, you can't do this. And I'd show the scriptures where it's called an abomination, where it's sin. And, you know, even go to, for example, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So homosexuality is arsenikoitos, man-betters, and it's talking about this issue. It includes lesbianism and all this kind of thing. It's sexual immorality, and the word for, it says fornicators, is pornos. And so the idea of sexual impurity in the practice of it is ungodly, and we cannot call someone who's openly practicing it, we can't say that they're believers or regenerate. We don't have that business ability to say that.
Gotcha. Thank you very much, Matt. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
You too. You too, Matt. God bless. All right. Now, what do you do, however? Let's say there's someone who has homosexual tendencies for whatever reason and recognizes that it's false, that it's sinful, and is warring against it, but still has those attractions. I'd say that's a sign of regeneration, because the person recognizes the sin, is warring against the sin, and that's it, you know, okay. But someone who practices such a sin and has no problem with it and continues in it and also claims to be a Christian, sorry, you cannot do that. Again, 1 John 2:4, if you say you know him and do not keep his commandments, the truth is not in you, and you are a liar. And so we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, if you say you're a Christian, let's say you live like it. Now, we're not talking perfection here. People make mistakes. We blow it. But there's a difference between accidental messing up, things like that, versus, hey, I'm going to go into this hook, line, and sinker all the way. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to live in sin. Don't call yourself a Christian at that point. And I've told Christians before, people claim to be a Christian, and they say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. For example, I was talking to a guy once who said he's messing around with his girlfriend, and that they go to church together, and yet they kind of live together. Well, no, that's right. This one guy said they did live together. And I said, okay, so you're living together and going to church, right? Yeah. How long have you been doing this for? Six months? Oh, yeah. 6 months, he says. I said, okay, well, don't call yourself a Christian. And he goes, what? I said, don't call yourself a Christian, and you're not eligible for communion. What? And I had to tell him what the truth was. And we've got to take our faith in our Lord seriously. We take it seriously, ladies and gentlemen. So if you say you're a Christian, act like it. And if you don't act like it, you have to understand, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus says, Matthew 12:34, we behave based on what we believe. If you behave in a manner that is consistent with sinfulness and unregeneration, then that's what's going on in you. All right? All right. You need to repent of it, turn from it, and stop it, and show the manifestation of regeneration. Let's get to Matt from North Carolina. Matt, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Okay. Good to chat with you. Well, abortion is obviously a hot topic now, and I've heard an argument before, and I recently was reminded of it. And I read an article on the scripture, and they gave a couple of reasons, but it's something that sometimes people like to use to try to prove, you know, abortion in the Bible. It's Numbers 5:21, and I think, I don't know, 22's okay. In it. And I'm sure you've heard that, and I was wanting to know your opinion, or if you had some enlightenment.
Sure, let's talk about it. I've got to read it for people, and I'm familiar with it. So there's a concern that of infidelity. All right, that's the context. The priest shall have her take an oath, and shall say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if no one, and if you have not gone astray into uncleanliness, being under the authority of your husband, be immune to this water of bitterness that brings a curse. If you, however, have gone astray, being under the authority of your husband, and if you have defiled yourself, and a man other than your husband has had intercourse with you, then the priest shall have the woman swear with the oath of the curse, and the priest shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people by the Lord's making your thigh waste away and your abdomen swell. And this water that brings a curse shall go into your stomach and make your abdomen swell and your thigh waste away. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. Now, that's not to say that they're pregnant, for one thing. But even if it did, which it doesn't, it couldn't be used for a support of killing the unborn. And the reason is because this is under a theocratic system where God is ruling through the prophets and the judges of Israel, and that when infidelity was suspected, that the person would be under a curse. And notice that the text says they agreed to that curse, and the reason they'd be under the curse is because they're breaking the marriage covenant as well as the sanctification covenant that they're to undergo in relationship to God, who's working in that governmental system specifically. That's the whole context. We don't have that now. We don't have it now. So it's under a system where God is in control and ruling through his prophets there. And when infidelity is suspected, the means of finding out that infidelity is to be tested. And it's by God's hand that the swelling occurs. It's not by the human hand that it occurs. They don't go in and destroy that life. Because abortion is, of course, violence. And so it does not apply to that. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to offer this. I will be glad to debate. Does the Bible support abortion, or does is abortion right or wrong? That'd be the thing to do. Is abortion right or wrong? And so we can, under every circumstance, for example, I'd be willing to debate anybody on it. And I'm talking about a formal debate. We have to agree on the title, and we could have it publicized, recorded, videoed, the whole bit. We do it online, do it in person. Be willing to debate the issue. But you won't find anybody taking me up on that or anybody else up on it. And the reason is because they're afraid of the facts, they're afraid of the logic, and they're afraid of the truth that would come out. This is why abortion advocates never enter into public debates on the issue. It's always ad hominems, short soundbite things that misrepresent truth so they can justify killing. Let's get back, Matt. Well, hold on. Okay, buddy, we've got a break coming up. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. All right. So, Matt, are you still there?
Yeah, so I will re-listen to that and do a little more research on it. But I was going to make another. I'll make another quick comment and
sure.
Go. But it's weird when you, and I know you deal with it a lot more than the average person. But they'll claim that they don't, you know, believe in God, or they don't believe the Word, or that it's corrupt, or you know, it can't be trusted. But yet they'll use it to try to formulate arguments and either gotcha questions and or just to, and it just shows their double think and how they're deceived. And when you really, and of course I've learned that from you and some other people, but when you see that and hear it, you can really, it's just so there, but it's just sad, really, you know, that they act that way and do that way. But
it's hypocrisy.
It's just how they do.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is. And they don't see it that way, I don't think, necessarily, but until you point it out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'll use atheists as an example here. You know, they'll say something. And, yeah, actually, there's that. Yeah, I have an article on this. Does Numbers 5, 11 through 31. Well, that's Numbers. That's, yeah, 5, 11 through 31. Prescribe abortion drugs in case of adultery and things like that. That's one of the questions
okay,
I have.
I'll go to your website and look that up.
Yeah. And so when I talk to atheists, for example, they'll use the Bible, they'll try and use the Bible against Christianity, and I'll say, are you doing an internal or an external critique? Because there's two kinds of things that we look at here. And the premise here is logical, and then you can learn how to apply it in real time. An internal critique is to look at it from inside of itself to see if it has internal consistencies. An external critique says you have a value outside of that worldview, and then you attack that worldview from an outside perspective. Now, each one of them has methods that you go through in order to argue, and I mean present an argument. If it's an right. external critique, they have to justify why that external fact is correct and is applicable to your worldview. If they can't do that, they don't have any right to say anything. If they want to use an internal critique, all you have to do is understand the biblical theology, the cultural context, and apply logic, and you'll see that they don't have a leg to stand on. And so these are just principles. Now, applying it, okay, so someone goes to Numbers 5, and they want to talk about this issue of abortion and try and use the Word of God to justify it. And I'm going to ask them, do you believe in the truth of the Word of God, or do you not? I'm going to see if they're going to go external or internal. If they say, no, I don't believe the Word of God, so you're going to use what we call, I teach them as I do this, you're going to then use what's called an internal critique, right? You're going to go to the Word to see if it supports your view, which means we have to look at the context, the culture, and the whole bit. Let's look and see if what it does. As soon as they say, well, we don't agree with that, well, then why would you then look at it and try and use it if you don't understand it? You want me to teach you what it means? Or do you want to just say that this is something I'm going to jump on, not learn what it is in its context, and try and use it against you? And I say, now, if you do that kind of a thing, that just demonstrates, and I say to them, no disrespect, but it demonstrates that you're not thinking clearly, and you don't understand the issues here, and you can't have a valid argument in that manner. This is how I talk to them. They don't realize a lot of times I'm doing an external, internal critique analysis on them, and I'll do this. If they say I love doing this. So they say, well, abortion is a human right. Let's say I'd say, okay, so is it a universal truth? Right, and they'll say, well, yes, it is. Okay, if it's a universal truth, what must be the case in order for it to be universally true? And they'll say, what are you talking about? Well, it's a universal truth. It's a moral issue. What must be there for you to be able to say that the statement abortion is a universal good or whatever it is always good, or it's a right of every woman? I'd say, what must be the case for that statement to be true? People aren't used to thinking like this. What I'm doing is I'll say, what I'm trying to do is ask you to validate your statement. If you say every woman has the automatic right to abort that life in her, then you're saying it's a universal truth. Where do you get that from? How is it a universal truth? And if they say, well, because that's what women want, that's called argument of ad populum. The majority wants it, so therefore it's true. Well, that's not the case. See, so what is the reason? And they don't have any ability to justify anything. They don't. And so when I have discussions like this with people, they're just basic principles that I use in any worldview conflict thing. And it does not take much to destroy their arguments. And I want to destroy their arguments because they're working against God. And I'm going to show them the foolishness of their arguments. And then I'm going to present to them the truth. And I'll say, for example, the reason we know that killing the unborn in the womb, for no other reason, for example, I'll narrow it down, because that's what the woman chooses. You see, we know that that's not good enough. And the reason it's not good enough is because the life in her is not her own life. It's a different life. And if it's a different life, what gives her the right to destroy it, to own it, to kill it, to abuse it? That's what we call slavery, chattel slavery. And I get in, I start talking to them. I'll tell you, they do not like it, because of all the topics I've argued with people, abortion is one of the easiest to undermine. And again, I'll offer anybody who wants to have a publicized debate on this, is, for example, is abortion morally right or wrong? Oh, man, I would love it if someone took me up on that one. But no one's going to.
I bet you would, yeah. All right, well, listen, I'll let you go and get some other callers, but great information. I appreciate you sharing, appreciate your ministry, and we'll talk again.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy. Okay.
All right, man.
All right. Well, here we are on a Friday. We have no call. I'm sorry, I'm thinking two things at once. We have no callers waiting, and partly because I'm sure that the 4th of July is on Monday. It won't be on the air on Monday. It'll be a day off. And as I often do on Fridays, as I do hate mail. And I'm already smiling. I'm already smiling because I love hate mail. And so what I thought I would do is jump right in. Oh, man, I'm already laughing. Now, for those of you who've not heard me do hate mail before, you will probably clue in that there's something wrong with me because for some reason, I get the biggest kick out of hate mail. I've been known to laugh, to have a great time reading it. I enjoy it. I don't know what it is, but there you go. So I'm just going to read this. I haven't even reviewed these for today, so I'm just going to tell. Let's see. Tell Matt his name rhymes with what... with what he is, and I can't tell you what it is. So he needs to love, not hate. So wow, I love when people talk like that. There's nothing substantial in that. And this person was obviously wow. Nothing in my hand. I'm ringing. Yeah, he needs to love, not hate. This is what he's talking about. God hates those who do iniquity. Psalm 5:5, Psalm 11:5. You can go to Romans 9:20. Let's see, 14. Actually, I think it's 9 through 13. 9 through 14 talks about God hating one and loving another. Hating is not wrong, folks. And when someone says you need to love and not hate, that means accept everybody and all their sin. And I would talk to somebody like that. I'd say, "Am I supposed to love the adulterer?" And say, "Hey, it's okay. That's just your lifestyle." And the pedophile, "Don't worry about it. It's your lifestyle. It's okay. I don't want to judge you. I should be loving, right?" No, of course not. And when people think like that, the logic just goes right out the window. They couldn't think their way out of a wet paper bag if it was 45 degree tilted down and it was greased and there was a chain pulling them out with a neon sign saying this way. They still couldn't get out. Let's try another one. Matt, since you have a talent for writing and you write nonstop, that's not correct. I do write a lot, but not nonstop. I suggest you remodel your website. Get the grace movement, oh man, out of your head and seek an honest job as a columnist or published author on a mainstream topic. So I guess from this, I'm not honest, apparently, when I study issues left, right, up, and down, and then write about them on my website. I guess that's not being honest, okay? So it's really stupid. If I had my way, I'd be a Christian, but that would be kind of selfish for Jesus. You know, I could just see talking to somebody, they say that to me. You know, my eyes would just kind of narrow, and I'd be thinking, okay, they just get out of the hospital? They just have a head injury? What is wrong with them? You know, because that makes absolutely no sense at all. And so I had to start asking diagnostic questions. Now, guess what? There's the music for the final break of the hour. And if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276, or you can hold on, and I'm going to do some more hate mail after the break. So, hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Okay, now, during the break, I was reading some hate mail, so I got some good ones here. I'm going to enjoy them. And if you want to call, 877-207-2276. And let's get to some hate mail. I love this stuff. Okay, here we go. Remember, for those of you who are new, I do hate mail sometimes on Fridays. And since it's the holiday weekend coming up and it's slowing down, that's normal. Here we go. Where in Scripture does it instruct us to indiscriminately mock people and their opinions in a hostile and uncaring fashion? Your sarcastic, abrasive demeanor borders, in my view, on bullying. I can't imagine that you convert many people with a style of apologetics. I have listened to your show for a couple of months and have come away wondering if you are perhaps psychotic. Wow, it's awesome. If you're psychotic or mentally disturbed in the way that you communicate with some people that you call that call into your show. Now, this is written a while back, but wow, that's good. You know, that's a good insult. If you are so annoyed by the comments and questions posed to you, then why do you do it? Why do you do this? I'm a regular listener to blah, blah, blah. I am a huge proponent of defending our faith and standing against heresies and false doctrines. Honestly, I can say that if I were not a believer, I could easily draw anything public. Okay, Blake goes on rambling. That's good. I'm either psychotic or mentally disturbed. I think that's really good. It's interesting. All right. Now, here's a good one. This is a good one. As you know, I like to say that the quicker and the slicker the insult, the better. Here's one that fits both, quick and slick. Just reach up to your head, see if there's a little switch there. Please move it to the on position. Thank you. That's awesome. Now that is a good one. You see, I think that's a good one. I think I like that. It's makes me feel good. Cracks me up. So it's awesome. All right, how about this one? Let's see. Your facts are wrong. Get it right or don't post. Thank you. Of course, there's nothing more than that. There's nothing more than that statement. It doesn't help at all. Your facts are wrong. Get it right. Don't post. Okay. How about this one? This is in regard to Mormonism. All right. Now, just so you know, I've done a great deal of research on Mormonism, and I have a lot of resources and gone to their documents. Okay. And so, you know, this person wrote and said, your documentation is your interpretation and it is wrong. You do not have the testimony nor faith that a Mormon does. Do you ask a plumber to do electricity? No, you don't. Well, it's not logical to say that. You see, would I ask a Mormon who's deceived by the enemy? Say, hey, is your religion true? Of course it's true. How do you know it's true? Because I believe it's true. What? I have a testimony. Well, how do you know the testimony is true? Because God wouldn't deceive me. Who says it's God? You know, and you're not allowed to ask these kind of questions. But I wrote, well, check it out for yourself and see if it's wrong. See if the documentation is wrong. Because what I do often is quote them. Just take a quote and then say, here's the quote. And then here's the documentation where you can find the quote. Go read it all in context. There it is. And I like it when people say to me, your quotes are out of context. And I say, well, what's the context? You know what the context is. Well, I do. So you said it was wrong. You said the context is wrong. That must mean you know the context. So what's the context? Oh, don't play games with me. you said it was out of context. So what's the context? And they don't know. They just say stuff. So this person goes on. I've read it 1,000 times. 1,000 times. Really? You are extremely biased. Well, yeah, and so are you as a Mormon. I love this statement. No religion should be analyzed or researched. Whoa. So no religion should be analyzed or researched. Just let them all go. You know, wow. All religion are based on your beliefs and faith in God and Jesus Christ. Whoa, this person does not have all, let's see, is it a woman? I think it's a woman. Kaylee. It does not have all her theological pods in the litter box. All religions are based on your faith, beliefs and faith in God and Christ. No, Mormonism is not. I mean, excuse me, Islam, well, Mormonism isn't either. They have a false Jesus. But Islam doesn't. It doesn't recognize it. Judaism doesn't. Neither does Confucianism or Jainism or, you know, all kinds of stuff. You are wrong about Mormons. No, I'm not wrong about Mormons. Okay, they do not go around saying Baptists are not Christians or Methodists or Presbyterians are not Christians. Each religion deserves the same amount of respect. They don't say that? Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Carm.org, Mormonism condemns other religions. Let's see if we can find this really fast. Does Mormonism attack other religions? That's the article. I wrote this article. And Joseph Smith his alleged first vision. My object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the sects was right, that I might know which to join. No sooner, therefore, did I get a possession of myself so as to be able to speak than I asked the personages who stood above me in the light which of all the sects was right. Now, the personages are God the Father and Jesus, and which I should join. I was answered, I must join none of them, for they're all wrong. That's what he says, okay? What is this? That's out of History of the Church, Volume 1, pages 5 and 6. What is it that inspires professors of Christianity generally with the hope of salvation? It is that smooth, sophisticated influence of the devil by which he deceives the whole world. That's teachings of Prophet Joseph Smith. Okay? Let's see. Question is directed at Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. First, do you believe in the Bible? If we do, we're the only people under heaven to do that, for there are none of the religious sects of the day that do. Third, will everybody be damned but Mormons? Yes, a great portion of them, unless they repent and work righteousness. Brigham Young, John Taylor, James Talmage. Here, I'll just do James Talmage. Let's see what he says. A self-suggesting interpretation of history indicates that there has been a great departure from the way of salvation as laid down by the Savior, a universal apostasy for the Church of Christ. The Articles of Faith, Deseret Book Company, Salt Lake City, page 182. Joseph Fielding Smith, The Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants. Let's get this one, D&C 1:12-23. Verily, verily, I say to you, darkness covereth the earth, and gross darkness in minds of the people, and all flesh has become corrupt before my face. So what do the Mormon missionaries do when they go door to door? Hey, there was an apostasy, and Joseph Smith restored the true church, which means you aren't in the true church, which means you believe in a false church. So when someone says, no, Mormonism doesn't condemn other religions, oh, of course it does. You know, I just think, pshaw, of course it does. You know, I wish people would do some critical thinking. But that's what the problem with Mormonism. They don't, I'm sorry, it's a truth. They don't think them to teach critically. They don't. And it's very unfortunate because they're believing in a false God, a false Christ, a false gospel. Let's see, now here's another email. Let's see, hope you guys in StreamYard are enjoying this. It says this. Okay, it says, the hope that we have in Jesus as the world comes to an end is now available. It's part four. I suggest you obtain an actual hard copy of these books now. Wow. Because when the world gets to the point where Sunday laws have been introduced, it will then only be a few days before we get to the point where all the satanic digital technology stops working. So when all the Sunday laws have been introduced, then in a few days later, all satanic digital technology stops working. I don't even know what satanic digital technology is. You know, and all your electronic digital storage devices revert back to being what they actually are, nothing but a lump of plastic. Time is running out for this world. Will you be surprised when they create a fabricated World War III? Will you be surprised when Satan introduces demons that look like aliens? Will you follow my triad, et cetera, et cetera? This goes on. And when was this one written? I got a lot, all of them. This is back in 2012. So I guess it hasn't happened yet, all that stuff. Wow. Man. Yeah, this is good stuff. Let's see, one more and we'll get to the caller. Firstly, this is not in, and there are multiples, if not hundreds, of beliefs in the Wiccan society. Although it doesn't matter much to me, as I'm a Satanist, it would be better if people were better researched on it. Wow. Wow. Well, even though I did my Wiccan research out of Wiccan books and quoted Wiccan books and went to Wiccan websites and stuff, I talked to Wiccans. Yeah, it's not true. The Satanist would know that, wouldn't he? Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's get on the air. We're here with Caitlin from Oklahoma. Hey, Caitlin, welcome. You're on the air.
It's actually Caitlin with the P, but
okay.
I overheard, like, I came in on the tail end of you discussing about abortion, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to tell everyone I am 23 years old, and I don't consider, as a woman, it's not empowering for me to know to kill the child that God has placed inside my womb. I don't have any children, but this is my passion, and like you, I wanted to help argue that child inside the womb, and whoever's listening, that thing inside your womb is made in the image of God, and it is not your own life. It's not a part of your body. There's another life in there.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with you. It is not your own body. Yep. And you're 23. I'm glad that you're calling, and I'm glad you're lending support to that. And I hope that more women would realize the blessing that having a child growing in you really is. It's an incredible blessing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have, and I just wanted to get that out there.
Well, I'm glad you did. I appreciate it. I do. I'm glad that you called up and talk about it. So, thank you. All right?
You're welcome, and thank you for doing the show.
My pleasure. I do want people to understand the truth of who Christ is and the forgiveness that he offers, even for those, and especially for those women who've had abortions and the men who've supported them, that you can be freed from that guilt. You can be freed from that that act. And that Jesus can forgive you. Turn to Christ. Just lay it before him. Be cleansed of it. And he will forgive you. And he'll change you. You're going to live for him.
Yep.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep, it's beautiful.
It is.
I'll let you get on with the show, and I just wanted to call and support and let everyone know.
Good. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks, Caitlin. Oh, Peatland, right? Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yes, sir. You're welcome.
All right. All right. There we go, everybody. Hey, if you want to give me a call, you'll have to wait till next week. We're off on Monday because it's the 4th of July, and by God's grace, back on the air on Tuesday next week. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you have a great holiday. Celebrate what we have left in this country, and pray for the repentance of our country, because it certainly needs it. May the Lord bless you by his grace. We're back on the air on Tuesday. God bless everybody. We'll see you. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.